Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Megamon XE Alert Management Considerations and Best Practices. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. This teleconference will explain the monitoring and alerting capabilities of a Megamon XE, the integration capabilities of a Megamon Dashboard Edition, and the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. You'll learn how a Megamon integrates and interfaces with automation, network management, other Tivoli systems management tools, and third-party technologies. Also, today's program is being recorded. The teleconference will be hosted by Mr. Ed Woods, IBM Certified IT Specialist, Tivoli Performance Automation. At this time, I'll turn the program over to Mr. Ed Woods.
Great. Thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend the teleconference this morning. I trust you'll find this an interesting and informative topic. So again, my name is Ed Woods. I'm a consulting IT specialist with IBM Corporation. I've been with IBM for 2 years. Prior to working for IBM, I worked for Kendall Corporation for about 12 years. And prior to that, I was an Omegamon customer and user. So altogether, I have over 20 years of hands-on experience with the Omegamon product set. And so I put this presentation together as, in essence, a form of a roadmap. Over the last 2 or 3 years in particular, the Omegamon monitoring technology has evolved quite a bit, and a lot of new capabilities, new features, the Omegamon XE, Tivoli Enterprise Portal-based technology. And so a lot of customers now have questions in terms of how does the new technology fit in relative to the traditional Omegamon as people have known it and used it for many years, 3270-based technology. So as much as anything, what we'll be doing in this presentation is, in essence, discussing a roadmap. What is the state-of-the-art of the technology, say, 10 years ago, 5 years ago? Compare and contrast the state-of-the-art of the technology now, considerations in getting from point A to point B. Things in terms of aspects of what are the advantages of using one aspect of the technology versus another. So going to the next slide, which shows the agenda. So on the agenda slide, you see, first of all, really what we're talking about here is first and foremost a roadmap. What is the direction of the technology? We have a lot of customers that have made significant investments in Omegamon monitoring technologies over the years. So it's important to understand what people are doing now currently with the tool set and where they plan to go. So we'll talk about things like what I would call the traditional Omegamon alert management techniques. And so we'll talk about what people have done in the past using classic interface, CUA interface, OmegaView, NetView interfacing, automation interfacing, etc. And these capabilities are still very much in the product, still very much supported. I'm not saying that any of this is going away. It's all still very much there within the tool. But in addition, there are new technology capabilities that have come to the fore over the last 2 or 3 years in particular. And these are the Omegamon XE, Tivoli Enterprise Portal-based technologies. And we'll look at those as well. Ultimately, what we'll consider is the various trade-offs. The advantages of one versus the other. There are certain inherent advantages I think you'll see when we look at things like Tivoli Enterprise Portal. But in addition, there are certain scenarios where using classic technology and things like that, for example, might come into play. And I'll show examples of that as well. So we'll talk about considerations, trade-offs. We'll make some recommendations, and then we'll wrap this up, and then finally we'll have time for questions and answers, and then we can go from there. So again, I thank you as well then for taking the time to attend, and I think you'll find this interesting. So, going to the next slide, slide through this is understanding the Omegamon roadmap. The thing to be aware of is the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is the strategic direction of the Omegamon products. So, what that means is a lot of the R&D effort, enhancement capabilities, new features, bells and whistles are typically going to be placed in the Portal Omegamon XE GUI interface. That does not mean that 3270 is going away. 3270 is still a very viable part of the product. 3270 enhancements are still being put in the tool, so it's not like it's being functionally frozen. It's just that for certain types of monitoring requirements, certain things make more sense to put into a portal GUI interface, and other capabilities make more sense to be done using a 3270 capability. So basically, it's just a question of using the appropriate tool, if you will, for the appropriate problem that's trying to be solved. Each of these components, classic interface, CUA 3270 interface, Omegamon XE portal, has its own strengths and capabilities. And one of the things that I want to try to do as we go through this presentation is give you guys a better understanding of what those capabilities are and why you might use, say, classic interface in one scenario versus using a portal interface in another scenario. In general, though, as I said, the direction is that more of the R&D effort is being put into the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Going to slide 4, where at the top it says, in the beginning. So if you're a longtime user of Omegamon, then you probably have seen or have used or have touched what we call the classic interface. Classic interface is 3270 based in its nature. You log on directly, typically to the Omegamon interface. You know, some people have used TSO interfaces in the past, but typically people use this as a VTAM logonable application. All the various screens consist of what are called major and minor commands. So now what that means then is when you look at a classic screen such as what we're looking at here, you see the batx command, which basically lists batch jobs, and then that's in uppercase, so therefore that's how we know it's a major command. And we're looking on the left portion of the screen here about 5 or 6 lines down. And then underneath batx, we see step and elap. These are minor commands that basically say, give me more detail about the major. So all the various classic interface screens consist of these major and minor commands. One thing that we'll talk about as we get further into the presentation is how in certain scenarios it may be useful to know what some of these commands are, depending upon what your alert automation and interactive requirements are when we're talking, monitoring and trying to solve certain performance issues. So this was the original Omegamon interface. If you've used Omegamon for 20 years like I have, you've probably worked with this. Going to the next slide, what we see are classic exceptions. So if you had used the product again as originally put out the door, you would have set exceptions using this mechanism wherein you would specify what we call a threshold. And you see in the two pop-up windows we have here, we have the command that shows the threshold value, the state, whether it's on or off. Auto equals off, log equals off, that controls whether or not basically you can drive other screens and if these things are being logged to the exception log facility. So that you have all sorts of capabilities based upon this particular exception. And then the pop-up behind it shows other exceptions, and so you have a set of one-liners. So XREP is an exception, FXFR is an exception, wait is an exception. And then you see we have multiple instances of these. For example, the XREP exception shows that we have more than one outstanding reply. We actually have 5 outstanding replies to the MVS console at the moment. The various exceptions, as set within classic interface, are stored within a mechanism called a profile. And so profile is basically a member that's allocated to the Omegamon monitoring address space, and these settings are set, and then you could actually copy these and whatever and make modifications to them. And that's how you would set the various alerts. And to see the alerts, you would typically log into the Omegamon 3270 interface to browse and view these things. So this is alert processing, state-of-the-art as, say, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. Now, there's also automation capabilities of a sort that come with the classic interface as well. In addition to being able to drive exceptions and see exceptions within classic, you also have the ability to issue other screens and have an exception kick off, in this case, in Omegamon screen space, as we call them. Every screen in Omegamon classic is called a screen space, and then based upon the presence of an exception, actually kick off a screen space with a set of Omegamon commands. In this particular example, so we're looking at slide 6 here, which says classic interface automated screen facility, just so everyone knows where I'm at. We have an exception called TXIQ. That's an Omegamon IMS exception, and what it's looking at is the number of transactions that have queued within an IMS region, or I should say an IMS control region. The threshold is set to 8. So in other words, if we have more than 8 messages queued up in IMS will actually kick off a screen. If you look at the in the top portion of the window, all the way downward says SS equals region. So it's kind of in the middle of the slide, if you will. It says SS equals region. So in other words, if this particular exception is true, we'll actually kick off a screen space called regions. And then the bottom portion of my slide shows the region screen space with the major and minor commands that make it up and the kind of information that gets kicked out from this. So this is actually a simple way to drive automated actions based upon detected exceptions. This is a mechanism that works. It's fairly easy to set up. Certain limitations are you need to have things like a session logged on and active running in auto update mode. But it's a good way to actually, if you have certain requirements, to detect a problem and then issue a Megamon command and log it, for example. This is a very simple way to get that done. And so a lot of customers have used this over the years. Going to the next slide, slide 7. Now what happened was after starting with Classic Interface and its capabilities, which again are still in the tool, Classic is not going away, you have now additional interfaces and functions. So about 12 or 13 years ago, a Megamon CUA became a more prominent portion of the tool. Also a 3270 interface capability, but this provided a little more flexibility in terms of setting alerts that you could set warning as well as critical levels. You could customize the views in the sense that you could integrate it using a mechanism called OmegaView, and then OmegaView will give you customized statuses, usage of color so you could see alerts highlighted in red or yellow, and then also interfacing with OmegaView, which we'll talk, or I'm sorry, not OmegaView, I mean NetView, which we'll talk about in a bit here as well. So Omegamon CUA, OmegaView, that was the capability that was added quite a few years back, and then in the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen now on the top portion of the screen the emergence of the Omegamon XE Tivoli Enterprise Portal GUI interface with its real-time and historical capabilities, automation and alerting capabilities, situation automation, policy automation capabilities. So each one of these is clearly an evolution, additional flexibility, additional capabilities. So when you look at it, Classic was the starting point. The CUA interface provided additional capabilities in terms of setting exceptions and alerts, and then the Omegamon XE GUI capability broadens that capability and gives you even more flexibility as we go. So over time, the options grow. Going to the next slide, which is slide 8, Omegamon 3270 Address Space Overview. What we're looking at here then is then you can set exceptions within the Classic interface simply by logging directly onto the, what we call the Classic Collector. And this is the standard architecture that you would see for, say, Omegamon MVS, KIX, DB2, IMS, or logging onto the CUA address space. You would set exceptions and thresholds, et cetera, by logging onto the CUA address space. The difference is a CUA exception profile contains a warning as well as a critical, whereas typically in the Classic interface, you just get a single number to set the alert to. You can log on to CUA and drill down to Classic, but if you log on to Classic, you don't have navigation up to CUA. Classic interface has that automated screen thing, ASF, that we were talking about prior. Other than that, it's very comparable in terms of the exceptions that may be set and how you define them. Now going to slide 9, talking a little bit about automation. So we've looked at the state-of-the-art as it's been for quite a few years with the Omegamon in terms of setting exceptions, looking at the traditional Classic and CUA interfaces, 3270 capabilities of the tool. A lot of folks also want to be able to take those exceptions and then in turn drive automated actions based off of those. So to drive automated actions from an Omegamon Classic or CUA, you need some form of an automation engine. That would be AF operator, if you're a Candle customer, and now, of course, IBM. Or if you're IBM currently, you could also do system automation, SA. And then either SA as well as AF operator has these interfaces to talk to Classic exceptions and things like that, and then to drive actions based on those. Now, those actions could be issuing regexecs that contain ZOS console commands. These actions could also take the form of driving other Omegamon screens. So certain scenarios where a user may, in fact, actually use a Classic mechanism to drive an exception and then kick off an action is they want to be able to not necessarily just drive, say, some ZOS console commands, but actually drive some additional OmegaMon screens, screen spaces, commands, etc., using these types of mechanisms. So this interface gives you this type of capability. So whatever your automation engine might be, AF operator, SA, each of these tools has the ability to, in essence, log on to, if you will, the OmegaMon Classic Collector, parse and look for certain OmegaMon exceptions, and then drive those exceptions from there, and then drive actions off of those. Going to our next slide. So slide 10 then shows the OmegaMon and SA interoperability. So in the most current release of SA, System Automation, you now have the ability to basically look for OmegaMon type of exceptions. And these would be exceptions coming from the classic interface. So SA now has an API that will monitor for these OmegaMon classic exceptions, and then you can use this information as a conduit to basically then drive additional, as I said, racks, execs, kick off other screens and things like that. Going to our next slide, which talks about the OmegaMon sessions. SA OmegaMon sessions is the heading on the slide. This is slide 11. In essence, what happens, and this same mechanism is pretty much the same if we're talking AF operator versus SA, what happens is the automation engine actually logs on to the underlying OmegaMon, establishes a session, looks for whatever the appropriate exceptions are in question, and if it detects those exceptions, then goes ahead and issues actions. And so that means then for each of these, you have to have a definition that basically says, what are the attributes of the session, what am I logging on to, what am I going to be looking at, etc. And then that session may in turn then, as the slide indicates, may be used for multiple sources of automation. So in essence, it's maybe a single session, but may be looked at for various pieces, if you will, using SA. Going to slide 12, the API that was added in SA to talk to OmegaMon, you have a couple of commands that act as basically the interface between the OmegaMon interface and the rest of SA. And in the middle here, I list some of the things that I've mentioned previously, possible interactions, calling the OmegaMon exceptions and looking for particular exceptions. If you detect one of those exceptions, then issue, say, for example, an OmegaMon command. So if you recall the prior scenario that I showed that was an IMS scenario where we looked at the automated screen facility, what we were looking at in that case was basically we were looking for a particular OmegaMon exception. In this case, it was the TXIQ transaction queuing exception. And then based upon that, we were then kicking off an OmegaMon screen that contained some additional OmegaMon commands to look at IMS regions and what was happening within those IMS regions. So in this case, then, you could do the same thing, the same mechanism using the interface to SA to look for particular exceptions and then drive an OmegaMon screen off of those. Another thing you can do as well is using SA, you can have exception checking on fairly tight intervals, down to 5 seconds. So this could be useful in scenarios commonly such as database, where you're doing things like looking for lock conflicts, and the quicker you can detect these kinds of things, the better. So a 5-second interval might work much more optimally in that situation. So going to slide 13. The classic alert mechanisms, the trade-offs, if you will. So what I've been talking about up to this point is what we would call legacy technology. This is the technology that's been around largely for the last quite a few years. Classic has its pros and cons. On the pro side, it's a proven mechanism. Been out there a long time. Simple, relatively low-tech when you get right down to it, but gets the job done. It's easy to set up. It's a mainframe-centric type of a technology. It doesn't require any outboard type of gear, Windows boxes, or anything like that. This is something using strictly mainframe-centric type of technology. You have sets of predefined alerts, and these are all provided in the classic profiles. So each OmegaMon monitor tool, whether it's IMS, KIX, DB2, MVS, has a set of these predefined exceptions, and it comes with default values, and you can use the defaults or you can set them to whatever you deem appropriate. And then the classic can then in turn drive this SA interface as we described. Now, the downsides of the classic interface approach is that, well, first and foremost, the automation engine, whatever it is, or even if we're just doing the automated screen facility, setting aside the automation engine, you have to have an active session that's going out and checking for the alerts. That session might be driven by the automation engine. You might have some other way to drive that session, but there has to be an active session to get the alerts checked. From the classic standpoint, I say no integrated automation. Well, really what that means then is if you want to do automated actions, you need something in the form of an SA or an AF operator to do automated actions. One of the things that we'll look at when we're looking at the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is that automated actions and things are in essence bundled directly into the monitoring interface. So you don't necessarily have to depend upon an additional automation engine to get it done. Classic alert methodologies, you have profiles that need to be copied typically from one monitoring session to another. You may typically monitor 30, 50, 100 CICS regions. You might have dozens of DB2s. You might have dozens of IMSs or LPARs or whatever. And so you may have profiles that need to be managed and copied from place to place to keep this all in sync and get done what you need to get done. Now, the last bullet item, I say lacks flexibility. Basically, what I mean by that is not that you don't have a lot of exceptions, but that basically how it works is you get a predefined set of exceptions. If those exceptions get the job done, then great. One of the advantages that we'll talk about when we look at the Tivoli portal is that if there's not a predefined alert out of the box, you can create it. So the portal will have an inherent advantage in terms of the general flexibility in the number of possible alerts you can make, in essence. Going to slide 14, OmegaView and OmegaMon integration. Now what we're looking at is the next generation, which is CUA interface. In CUA, you still have your MVS, DB2, IMS kicks, but now you have warning as well as critical levels. You then have the ability to send it to a central component called OmegaView, and then OmegaView tracks the statuses as gathered by the various monitoring sessions and then provides drill down and alerting capabilities. And so this is the state of the art that quite a few of our customers have been using for quite a few years. And we have very large implementations that we commonly see using these types of deployments. Going to slide 14, here's an example of how you set exceptions using CUA interface. So as I said, with CUA, you get a warning as well as a critical. And you still basically have, in terms of the name of the exception, which is you see in the middle part there where it says code. So wait resource time would be WTRE. Then you set a warning and a critical value, and you can say whether to monitor, yes, no. And then on down the line for each of these. The name of the exception, the code, will be consistent from the CUA to the classic interface. But the difference is you get more flexibility in that you can set different levels of thresholds, warning as well as critical. Going to slide 16, what we're looking at here is basically, again, just like with the classic interface, you get a predefined set of exceptions. And so you have a certain number of alert exceptions, a certain number of resource exceptions, a certain number of workload exceptions. This is a DB2 example, but you would have the similar layout if we're talking MVS, IMS, kicks, etc. Same kind of concept. So if I can get done what I need to get done with the DB2 thread exception, ATHRA, then great, then I'm in good shape. If that doesn't get done what I need to get done, then I need to do some additional work. In terms of the granularity of the alert, you see that there's a naming convention. Each status alert item has a two-part name, session name, dot, and then the exception name. Basically, what happens is OmegaView actually logs on to the underlying OmegaMon. And because you might have multiple DB2s, multiple ZOS LPARs, this way it keeps straight with which DB2 that it's looking at or which IMS it's looking at, which MVS LPAR. That's how it maintains this uniqueness. Now, any of these exceptions, like in this DB2 example, may be sent using a program in the program interface from OmegaView to NetView. And so what you'll get is basically an exception that says, okay, for this given DB2, I have a threat alert, for example, and that can be sent from OmegaMon through OmegaView, ultimately up to NetView. And then slide 17 actually shows the flow of this. So here we have OmegaView, OmegaMon integration. So it goes from OmegaMon to OmegaView through the PPI interface to NetView, and then from NetView you can even forward it on to tech. The thing to keep in mind, though, is what you're looking at here is you have the ability to then say, for example, that I have a problem, well, using a DB2 example, with threads, or looking at a Kix example with response time coming from Kix for a certain response time group. But if you need additional granularity and detail beyond that, you may be limited in terms of the granularity you get. And this is, again, where the portal will come into play, as we'll look at in some later slides. So going to slide 18, CUA alert mechanisms, trade-offs. So the pros, again, commonly used, proven mechanism. Hundreds of customers, probably thousands around the world, use this technology. It's easy to set up, uses only mainframe-centric type of technology. You have your predefined sets of alerts, and now you have warning and critical levels. And OmegaView maintains those sessions under the covers, so you don't have to worry about automation or whatever doing that. That gets handled by OmegaView. The downside, again, no integrated automation per se. You still are going to need an automation engine like an SA, an AF operator, or something like that if you want to drive automated actions off of the alerts. You still have profiles that have to be managed. You still have basically the set of alerts defined by OmegaMon, so your threat exceptions, your buffer exceptions, your job exceptions, whatever, depending on whatever the monitor is. And ultimately, again, CUA interface, while still supported, an important part of the product, again, as I said early on, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is the more strategic, if you will, direction of the tool set. So if you're going to build an alert mechanism monitoring management environment, my recommendation would be look at the portal, which is what we'll be looking at shortly here. So going to slide 19, Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP as you hear it referred to. Basically what this is Tivoli Enterprise Portal is more than just a fancy GUI for OmegaMon. Tivoli Enterprise Portal is in essence a mechanism whereby all sorts of performance, availability, systems management, automation, all these various capabilities that you can get from Tivoli, both for Z as well as open systems, variety of technologies, middleware, you name it, all come together to provide you with a consistent monitoring, management, systems management, performance and availability management interface. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal is the front end, if you will, that gives you the ability to see things from a variety of different angles and perspectives and gives you some very powerful management as well as integrated automation capabilities, particularly when we're talking OmegaMon here. Going to slide 20, the architecture of this. Now we're looking at a ZOS example here. Is you have your OmegaMon collectors and CUA tasks as before. Those address spaces do not go away. But you'll also have additional address spaces that function as XE agents. And what those in turn then do is broker their information through a management server and then ultimately up to a box that we call the hub management server, which you see in black on the right. That hub could reside on Z, could reside on Linux, Unix, Windows, as well as then also you need a portal server. That portal server resides on Windows or on Linux. The Linux support was added with ITM version 6, which came out about 6 or 8 months ago, probably by now closer to about 8 months ago. So with this approach then, you have the ability to tie a lot of information together, run it through a portal, have that portal provide you with a common monitoring and management infrastructure that can be used and is extensible not only across Z but across many other platforms as well. Going to slide 21, now we're looking at an example of the portal and we're looking at a mechanism that we call OmegaMon DE or Dashboard Edition. Basically, the Dashboard Edition or the DE enables multi-component views. So in this case, what we're looking at here is a graphic view, and the green circles indicate monitored resources. And these could be IMSs, DB2s, CICS regions, MQ middleware, WebSphere, as well as network monitoring, all aggregated together from a single view. If the green circle changes color and shape, you would then be able to drill down and get more detail. Now, you can control the layout of the icons. The picture that we're looking at in this example is nothing more than a JPEG that was created to represent this particular customer's environment. And then we attached the various green icons to monitor the various resource statuses from there. So what we're looking at here is a 2LPAR environment where we're doing IMS as well as DB2 data sharing, as well as running Kix, running ZOS, and WebSphere and MQ. In addition, you have the detail windows at the bottom. So you can have not only the graphic overview, but you can also have drill downs for detail. So you can see drill downs for Z, Kix, IMS, DB2, et cetera. And if you look even more closely at the screen, like, for example, under the Kix region overview, you'll see that we're looking at multiple CICS regions here. There's an 18, a Kix 19, and a Kix 20, all being monitored from here. So using this particular view, you can look at multiple LPARs, multiple CICSs, DB2s, IMSs, multiple MQ channels, whatever. Combine that information together so that you can see from a big picture view what is going on across the enterprise. Going to the next slide, which says event management and problem isolation, you see how the icons, if there's a detected problem, will change shape and color. And then if you look very closely at the red icon, where it now becomes a triangle, you still see like a blue thing over that, which basically indicates a link symbol, what we call a drill down. So you could actually click on that and do a drill down from the graphic to see additional detail, or you could click in the boxes below to see detail as well. The icons that I show here are shapes, and I like to use simple shapes because they're easy to see. This is strictly nothing more than just a design element that I like to put into things to make it simple and easy to see and use. But you can control using style sheets what icons get used and how things appear. I even see customers do things like animated icons and things like that using the tool. So going to slide 23, which also says event management and problem isolation, you also then would see a flyover window that would tell you what is the problem. In this case, we see that we have an MVS CPU that's gone critical. And you can click on the blue link symbol to the left of the alert name and then see additional alert detail. So now if we go to slide 24, isolate the problem, this is what we see for that particular situation. So we see what is the problem. We see the details on the problem. We see the details from when the situation, as we call it, was initially true. So now exceptions become situations with Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So we see it when it was initially true. We see the current status underneath. Expert advice listed down below. This is customizable. So you can say, for example, this is something you can put in to say what command should be issued if the problem is detected, who needs to be called, when should they be called. And then the take action on the left, this is where you can specify predefined actions to do things like issue certain corrective commands and things like that to actually address the problem. So this way then, you can see the problem, drill down to get detail on the problem, have recommendations on what to do if the problem is found, and then actually kick off the command. So this basically then helps you drive down the time it takes to isolate a problem, but then actually go ahead and actually issue the appropriate corrective actions. The next slide shows an example of how situations are built. So the slide header says, use situations to build an alert. So in classic and CUA, we called them exceptions. Now we call them situations. Basically, you can specify the situation criteria. My recommendation is to always make the alert names meaningful. One of the nice things about the portal is you can make the exception names much more meaningful so that it makes sense even to someone who's not a subject matter expert. You can specify how frequently the alert is checked. You can specify whether the situation in question gets started automatically. Going to slide 26, this refers to alert flexibility. This is a good example of where the Tivoli Enterprise Portal has a clear edge over the classic and CUA technologies, in that you have the ability to make alerts be much more granular and flexible. So in this case here, we're actually looking at Boolean logic that's embedded within the alert in question. So here we can look for things like, if it's a certain elapsed time and it's a certain DB2 package, it'll be an alert. But if we go down to the next line, well, if it's a batch versus a distributed thread, we'll let it run longer because obviously batch typically will run longer than interactive queries coming in through distributed. And then the third line, we see that we can also look at things like the auth ID as well as the package name as well as the elapsed time. In this case, if it's the CIO, we might even want to catch it even more quickly than if it's just a general distributed thread user. You can add additional attributes to this as well. This is just a simple example to show you the Boolean logic capabilities. Using this mechanism, then, you can build a single situation alert that can check for some fairly complex alert scenarios. The idea, then, is it makes the alert, the situation, much more meaningful. The key item is you don't want to have a lot of phony alerts. Sometimes where customers may struggle is if you go with just very basic, simple alerts, a lot of times you'll get a lot of what I would call phony reds, phony alerts. And as much as possible, you want to filter those out and avoid that. And so having the flexibility, the Boolean logic capability of the situation editor helps you avoid those types of problems. Going to slide 27, this points out that if you're a classic and CUA user, you can actually port your exceptions up to the portal, and so we provide a mechanism to actually port the exceptions up, and so all the various Omegamons that have 3270 capabilities have this function as well. So it's not like if you're starting from a classic or CUA interface that you've lost everything. That's not the case. You can port and migrate this stuff up. Going to slide 28, this refers to automation examples. One of the things that I implied before is now when we looked at classic and CUA, you had automated, you needed an automation engine to drive automated actions. Not so if we're looking at the Tivoli Enterprise portal, because here in the situation editor, you can specify a console command right off of the situation. Like in this example, we were looking at a DB2 runaway thread. If it was detected, we would automate the process of killing the thread, and it would go straight to the console. But there's additional automation capabilities as well. So now if you go to the next slide, which is slide 29, here we're looking at a mechanism called a policy. A policy allows you to actually do multiple checks, issue multiple commands, check to see if the prior command worked, if the action succeeded, then take different actions off of that. So in this case, this provides us with the ability to check for a couple different possible problems before we issue a command. So basically then, it actually lets you take it to a more sophisticated level. And what's nice is this policy mechanism is, again, integrated within the portal. This is you don't need SA or AF operator to do this. This is simply part of the portal, assuming that you have Omegamon DE Dashboard Edition enabled within your portal. So going to slide 30, just to kind of summarize the various types of alert options and things we might have. First of all, you have your visual view, your customized, your graphic views, your enterprise overviews, things like that that a lot of customers like to see, red, yellow indicators, and icons to indicate a problem. You might have alert types that consist of console messages. For example, if I detect a problem, I need to issue a command to the console that would basically log it to, say, for example, a ZOS console. That console message may in turn then be used as a mechanism that feeds other processes. A lot of people like to use paging in emails. So you might need to issue commands to then in turn feed a paging system and then use tools such as, I use to show an example later on called Posty that actually lets you kick out the email commands, etc. There's SNMP interfaces to issue SNMP traps, simple network management protocol. So you have the ability to issue SNMP traps, the ability to also forward more detailed information to SNMP managers. There's interfaces to the Tivoli Enterprise console, tech. And then there's interfaces as well to third-party to IBM tools, so OpenView, Unisend, or whatever. So the bottom line is alert options can take many different forms, and these just list some of the common ones that we've dealt with. Going to slide 31, this shows the visual alert view. So here we're just looking at a graphic overview. We've looked at some of these examples. If there's a problem, we would see the icon in question change color and shape. Going to slide 32, this shows basically how this kind of stuff is set up. So in this case, you can specify the graphic. You can have a custom JPEG that would represent whatever the environment is that you want to monitor. So basically, I typically will use even just a simple drawing package like a PowerPoint, save it as a JPEG, and then incorporate it into the portal, and then attach the various monitoring points from there. Slide 33 refers to then how in turn do I control where the alerts appear. You have the ability, when you're working with the portal, to use an associate or dissociate command. So what we're looking at in the pop-up here, it says associate, dissociate. You see that in the pop-up word, and then we have a black box there. I say select associate to control where the alert appears on the tree. So the navigation tree that appears in the upper left corner of the portal, that's where you'll see little red icons that will show up when alert fires. Here's how, using this mechanism, is how you control the starting and stopping of the alerts, otherwise known as the situations, as well as controlling where that particular alert appears on the navigation tree. So you have a lot of flexibility, not only in the definition of the alert, but also definition of the viewing of the alert using the graphic options, and also definition of the viewing of the alert in terms of where it appears on the navigation as you go through the tool. Slide 34, using situations to issue messages to ZOS. This is a good example here. Basically, all we're doing in this case is just we've detected a problem, and I'm just putting a message string out on the console. Some people might use a log command and just log it out to syslog, or you could just drop any message string out that goes straight to the ZOS console. If you look very closely inside where I have the red outlined area, you'll see some ampersand system variables in there as well. Basically, what that means is my test message is going to show test message, the EDM pool is, and then you see the ampersand. This basically will then put the percentage of utilization for that particular pool in there. So we'll pull that item of information directly out of the monitor and put it into my message, if you will. So then, in turn, if you look at slide 35, where you see the actual output, we see the Omega-1 test message, the EDM pool is 90% utilized. And so that way, then, we can take not only just messages, but also punch the Omega-1 variables and things like that, the data that's gathered by the Omega-1, into the message string, forward it to the ZOS console. And then once it's on the ZOS console, you have a variety of ways if you want to do other things with it to automate it from there as well. Slide 36 shows an example of issuing email alerts. A lot of people will use tools like Postie or other commonly easily accessible. I'm just using Postie as an example. A simple utility to drive some email notification off of a Windows server. A lot of customers also will have email notification driven from the ZOS messages. So using this scenario I showed on the prior couple slides, if you kick out a message to the ZOS console, that in turn then can as well drive email notification in alerting that that can go just straight from the messages that appear on the ZOS console. So Postie is a commonly used technique. The ZOS message technique is a commonly utilized one. Another one, slide 37, refers to the integration with the tech. One of the nice things is now that we have what we call the ITM6 infrastructure capability, looking at the scenario that I show here where we have our Omega-1 monitoring running on Z, we have our hub. Now, in the case here, the hub needs to be, for example, on a distributed box like Windows. And then we have our portal server. If we have a tech server in place, we then have the ability to have a bidirectional interface so that, in essence, you can forward alerts to tech from the Tivoli Enterprise portal. And so then tech then pulls in quite nicely. And then also then, if you look at slide 38, this is where we see that how the tech also integrates within the Tivoli Enterprise portal screens. So the tech console basically can be a portion of a workspace. It's a bidirectional support. You can then, in turn, navigate between the tech as well as other portions of the Tivoli Enterprise portal. Now, this requires that you have ITM6 level portal support enabled. So if you're not running the ITM6 level, if you're not sure what that is, that's what you will need to have, though, to get this tech integration off the ground. Slide 39 mentions another example of alert notification and forwarding. Now what we're talking about is SNMP. SNMP, Simple Network Management Protocol, basically is a industry standard that's been out for quite a while that's used by a lot of systems management frameworks and infrastructures. And how this basically works then is you can pass detailed information from Omega-1 alerts or even use simple utilities to drive what are called SNMP traps, which would basically be like alert messages and things like that. So in the example that I show in our infrastructure chart here on slide 39, the heading on this slide I'm looking at is a Megamon XE interfaces to SNMP. So from our Megamon monitoring, our alerts then, our information would go to the hub, and then if a given alert is detected, there's a component called Universal Agent that I show in the black box at the bottom that provides the most full support if we want to do full-blown SNMP interfacing, because this would then in turn provide a bidirectional interface. In other words, you'd be able to pull information from SNMP managed resources, but then also send information into the SNMP management environment. Slide 40 shows a setup of the SNMP. It requires this universal agent component, which is one of the IBM monitoring capabilities. That it's an additional component above and beyond base Omegamon, though. And then we use this policy mechanism to then in turn drive this, so that in this case what we're looking at is I have a DB2 threat alert, and if in this case if it's true, I want to drive an SNMP event off that. So basically, in the policy editor, we check for the alert. We then said we want to do the SNMP event. And if you go to slide 41, you can see the additional what we call attributes or items of information that can be passed through here. So in this case, we're saying we're going to pass these attributes through the SNMP event. And so this is where you can see we can pass things like plan name, package name, auth ID, whatever the detailed metrics are that need to be passed. And so this is where the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and its various mechanisms has so much more flexibility than Classic, in that we can have much more broadly defined alerts. You have the ability to pass more detailed information. So if you need to forward information, tech, to SNMP management tools, to just or even just to the ZOS console, you can put more detailed information into the alerts. So, going to slide 42, alert considerations. As I mentioned, we have our different options here. Visual view. Well, if I have a visual view, that implies that someone's looking at the visual view. Works well in certain scenarios, such as console rooms, things like that, operational areas, certain views. Again, the visual view works good, but you need to have somebody actually looking at it. If nobody's looking at the red light, then you're not getting what you need out of it. Console messages. Very simple to do. If you remember the scenario we went through before where I looked for a particular exception and then drove a ZOS console message off that. That's a great way to drive messages and send them to a common repository. Console messages are also a good way to feed existing automation. Many customers have a lot of ZOS console REX-based automation in place, and they're just looking for simple ways to feed that existing automation. It's always a recommendation of mine, as much as possible, to not have to reinvent a wheel. If I already have a good working wheel in place, I'll use that existing working wheel. And so using the situation capabilities to drive console messages to then in turn feed automation is a good example of that. Just about every customer has some type of paging and email system. And so the nice thing about paging and emails is even though the portal interface itself does not have a page command per se, it's very simple to generate the necessary commands to drive those paging and email mechanisms. And so, you know, whether it's simply putting a console command or message on a console or issuing some type of a command from a Windows C prompt that then kicks off a utility like a postie or something like that, there's a variety of ways to do that. SNMP traps are, again, a simple way to go in that many people use SNMP, Simple Network Management. Keep in mind, though, that the universal agent or some other type of utility would probably be needed to really be able to exploit this capability. And universal agent is an additional component over and above what you would get if you were talking just base on Megamon MVS or DB2 or IMS or whatever. The tech, you can use a policy to drive an alert to the tech. And then actually, I should amend this statement slightly. Depending upon the version of the tool that you're using, and if you're running ITM6 level, you do not really need a policy anymore, so I probably do need to update this particular slide. So if we're running the ITM6 version of the portal infrastructure And if you have it deployed with the hub management server on a distributed box, you do not have this requirement. And then alerts to third-party tools. Well, using the mechanism we talked about, the command capabilities, messaging capabilities, SNMP capabilities, it's usually we have a myriad of different ways that we can interface to various third-party tools. There's a lot of flexibility in this regard. The portal works well when it comes to this type of thing. So going to slide 43, the TEP alert mechanism trade-offs. The Tivoli Enterprise portal is the most flexible. If I have anything that's monitored, it can be used in alert. So in terms of making alerts, setting up alerts, it's the most flexible. It's the easiest to set up because it's just a click-and-drag type of a GUI. There's a set of predefined alerts or product-provided situations, but you can make as many additional ones as you want. Automation is built into the tool, so I don't need to have an external automation engine, an SA or a Z or an AF operator or something like that. It's the easiest way to go if you want to interface information to third-party tools, things like that. It's more flexible in terms of monitoring and alert integration. The downside of the Tittle Enterprise portal, if you're looking at it from just the perspective of what pieces and parts, well, you need to have a portal box. That's typically going to be a Windows box or something running on Z Linux or a Linux box or something of that nature. So if you want a mainframe-centric situation, then you're still looking at classic or CUA. But if being able to acquire a set up a Windows box, for example, and use that as a portal interface, then the portal is a more flexible way to go. Couple scenarios quickly just to compare some capabilities. Slide 44. The TEP provides superior integration, an example. Many shops might have multiple classic OmegaMon MVS monitoring sessions running. Basically, what you'll see in a lot of operations rooms is you'll have like a console running some exception commands, looking at CPU exceptions and things like that. And they'll have one of these classic sessions, green screen sessions, running for each MVSL PAR they're monitoring. So like as this slide implies, you might have 3, 4, 5, 6, or a dozen of these things running in the console room. Slide 45 shows how you can take and get rid of those multiple screens and put it into a single consolidated view. So in this case, on this particular portal view, we're looking at the CPU alerts, the paging alerts, alerts raised, NQ alerts, whatever, for multiple LPARs, but we're looking at from a single physical screen. So again, reduce the number of screens that an operator or someone may need to look at, consolidate the information, integrate the information. That's one of the powerful aspects of the Tivoli Enterprise portal. Now, but there may be certain situations, scenarios in which maybe a classic might come more into play. A good example is, I'm on slide 46 here, some different examples is the heading of the slide. You may be an IMS or DB2 user, and you want to have a more detailed alert, or I should say a more narrow alert loop than what is provided with the portal. The portal runs in a 30-second interval. If we're looking at things like clock conflicts, things like that, you might want to run it at a tighter interval. You can go down to a 5-second interval, for example, using Classic. Another example that you might use Classic is the bottom portion of this. I might want to be able to look for a certain exception detected by OmegaMon, and then based upon that, issue other OmegaMon commands. Not necessarily Z console commands or things like that, but just traditional OmegaMon commands. If you remember early on where I showed the TXIQ classic exception and then running an OmegaMon screen space called screens, that was an IMS example, but the same mechanisms could be used by any OmegaMon that has a classic interface, same type of scenario. So that's a good example of where classic interface still has its usefulness. And again, as I said, even though Tivoli Enterprise Portal is the strategic direction, 3270 technology is still a vibrant part of the tool. So slide 47, considerations, recommendations. You want to always be aware of what your infrastructure is. Do you have a manager of managers or not? Some folks do, some folks do not. What are the mechanisms in place for notification? What do you need to do to drive paging, emails, etc.? Feed existing infrastructure where possible. As I said, I don't want to reinvent wheels. I want to use wheels that are already existing and then use the capabilities of OmegaMon to drive those existing alert mechanisms. Be prepared to weigh the pros and cons. There are scenarios where maybe a classic technique might work better. In general, what I think you'll find, though, is that in terms of flexibility and ease of deployment, that typically the Tivoli Enterprise Portal or the TEP will be an easier way to go, especially if I have a lot of alerts and a lot of sophisticated alerting requirements. So slide 48, more considerations. Ultimately, this presentation was about, you know, a roadmap, understanding what the technology options are that you have and why you would use one versus the other. What are the inherent advantages of, say, the Portal versus Classic or CUA? What advantages would 3270 Classic and CUA technology have over Portal? And basically, then it just comes down to using the appropriate tool to solve whatever the problem is that you're trying to solve. And that's basically it. Understanding what the capabilities are, understanding where you want to go with it, and then using the appropriate tool at the appropriate time. So really, that's pretty much it as far as my presentation here. I just want to say, last slide, thank you, and then we can open it up for questions. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ed. At this time, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. For our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. For our third question, have you implemented a MegaMon Dashboard Edition currently? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. For our fourth question, do you plan to implement a MegaMon Dashboard Edition to oversee multiple system status from one single screen? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And for our final question today, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If you are interested, please press star 1. If no, press star 2. And thank you all for your participation in today's survey. At this time, if you do have a question, please signal us by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you're using a speakerphone, please release your mute function so that your signal can reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 for any questions. We'll pause for just a moment. We'll go first to Kaveh Herbot.
Yes. Can you hear my voice?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. Probably towards the beginning of your presentation. You mentioned the CUA interfaces. From my past recollection, when you wanted to implement OmegaView and the drill-down functions, you needed the actual OmegaView running and then a CUA component running.
Yes.
And then the Classic. Is there a way to have OmegaView directly log on to Classic?
Yes. You can define sessions from OmegaView to Classic.
So I don't need the CUA jump, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, what you can do is you can set up OmegaView and then have OmegaView in turn then define sessions. When you define sessions in OmegaView, you can control whether they're Classic sessions or CUA sessions. Now, that being said, then when you drill down, you would drill down to Classic. Also, that being said, is again, keep in mind that you have more granularity in terms of warning versus critical if you're talking CUA versus classic. So if all you're trying to do is just get a basic alert, that might be a way to get it done without having to run the CUA address space, that's where you're going.
That's precisely where I'm going, yes.
Right.
Well, now, my follow-up question to getting the basic alerts is we don't have any of the stuff that you have just talked about in terms of the intermediate stuff. So what I'm planning on doing was having the classic set up with profiles that issue automatic screens for certain types of alerts.
Mm-hmm.
And that, those automatic screens would basically do issue the OCMD send command,
mm-hmm.
send a message to the MES console.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are certain exceptions, for example, that name specific resources, for example, IMS transactions or tape drives or whatever. Does the classic know the actual name of that resource at the time that he issues the alert? Can it be interrogated through a variable, for example?
See, that's where the ASF approach is going to kind of fall down. I mean, would the classic have the information? Yeah, it would, but the problem is then how do I then in turn punch it into a command string that's already there, predefined, ready to go within a screen called by ASF?
Right.
And depending upon the scenario, that may or may not fly. My recommendation is if you're going to use the ASF automation to drive this stuff, keep it for fairly simple scenarios. If you need to do things like look for an alert, parse,
yeah.
and then pass a command string through based on that parsing, you're going to find your life a lot easier to work with if you look at either the automation interfaces or go ahead and do the portal. The portal is probably the easiest way to go, and if you're a licensed Megamon user, I would assume you probably would have the ability to run the portal.
Okay. Now back to the ASF. If I, for example, as part of that send command that I was going to do,
mm-hmm.
if I also log it to exception log, for example, log it to run the XLF command.
Mm-hmm.
Would the actual exception text that Omegamon saw, the classic saw, be logged as well?
What you would get is if you enable XLF, that'll go to the XLF out DD allocated to the classic collector.
Right.
That XLF out DD would have a one-liner which would have the name of the exception and would have some text that would say might say, like for a DBT thread, was like the thread plan name and CPU time or whatnot. The precise text will vary by exception,
right,
but
exactly.
You would have a one-liner.
Okay.
Now, the downside of the approach you described then was a lot of people will do is they'll take that XLF out output and then try to run it to an automation engine. The problem is using that technique, then you're going to have to write some parsing code to take advantage of that in most cases. That's where using the AF operator or the SA approach, you don't have to write the parsing code because there's commands in place that just say, look for Megamon exceptions, and then off you go.
I see what you mean. Okay. Okay, very good. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Again, that is star one at this time for any further questions. And Mr. Woods, it appears we have no further questions at this time. I'll turn the program back to you for closing remarks.
Great. Well, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to be here today. I had a good time presenting the material, and look forward to working with all my customers again in the future. Thank you, and have a good day.
That will conclude this IBM teleconference. You may now disconnect at this time, and have a pleasant day.